For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good evening, everyone. So, yesterday we had an all-day sitting and we launched our practice commitment period. And so we're continuing tonight. Some of you were there yesterday, some of you weren't. I want to briefly review. So we're talking this practice commitment period about the teachings from a Chinese master from the 1100s called Hongzhe Zhongzhui. Hongzhe is an important ancestor in our tradition. He's very influential on Dogen, who brought this from actually the same temple where Hongzhe taught. Dogen met his teacher, Ru Jing, was the Zen. And I want to just briefly review a little bit of the main points I talked about yesterday and then continue. So I'm going to be, during the practice period, going to be jumping around within these practice instructions and sometimes the religious verses from this book, Cultivating the Empty Field. This is just a little review or highlights from yesterday. Hongzhe starts out by saying the field of boundless emptiness is what exists from the very beginning. We are told to it says, in this field, birth and death do not appear. The deep source, transparent down to the bottom, can radiantly shine and can respond unencumbered to each speck of dust without becoming its partner, without being caught by the dusts of the world. So this, I talked yesterday about this deep source. This is not the same as the source in Western Abrahamic religions, where the source is kind of historical or chronological. This is the source right now. The source from which everything arises. Our thoughts, our feelings, everything here now. And it's available. So he says this field of boundless emptiness exists from the very beginning. So this is not something we have to uncover or figure out or discover or decipher or even understand. It's the reality of how he is. And what's important to say, and I'll come back to this, is that the deep source can radiantly shine. And we can feel that light, that illumination. And it can also respond unencumbered. So I'm going to come back to this response, which is critical. We also talked yesterday about the practice of true reality. And he says the practice of true reality is simply to sit serenely in silent introspection. This is what we've been doing. Practice of true reality. And he says, here you can rest and become clean, pure, and lucid, bright, and penetrating. Immediately return a core and respond to deal with events. So this practice of true reality is not about seeing or communing with or understanding or whatever this ultimate source, this deep source. It's about how we respond. It's about the integration of our sense of wonder at the ultimate reality, which we glimpse in Zazen, and over extended practice, we can see it even more. Or it becomes part of us. So our practice is not to reach this ultimate source, this deep source. The deep source is there. How do we express it in our everyday activity? So this is why I wanted, when I moved to Chicago 17 plus years ago, I wanted a sangha that is an urban sangha in the middle of being in the world. And all of you, in various different ways, are in the world doing various things that express this source. It can't help but be so. And how do we deepen our expression and experience of it? That's the question of our practice. So I want to talk tonight about another section called The Ground That Sages Cannot Transmit. Somehow, when I was looking through the Empty Field book this morning, this is the one that struck me. And as we were chanting the guidepost for the Hall of Pure Bliss this evening, I realized that it had echoes very much with this passage. So I'll come back to this chant, the guide for the Hall of Pure Bliss, which is a long teaching poem by Hongxia. Yesterday we chanted the other one that we had on our chant book, the guidepost of silent illumination. So we'll be going back and forth between them for our chants during the practice community. Anyway, I'm going to read from this section about the ground. And it's this, Hongxia says it's the ground that even sages cannot transmit. So I'll just read and comment on some of it. Cast off completely, Hongxia says, your head and skin. This is very analogous to Dogen later saying, drop body and mind. This doesn't mean self-mutilation or lobotomy or anything like that. It doesn't mean getting rid of your body and mind. It means let go of your attachment, your sense of control or being controlled by body and mind. And Hongxia here says literally your head and skin. He says thoroughly withdraw from distinctions of light and shadow. So, of course, the way our consciousness works is to make distinctions. That's our subject-object language and awareness. He doesn't say to get rid of distinctions, exactly. He says thoroughly withdraw from those distinctions. Don't get caught up in them. It's easier said than done, because the way our mind works is to be constantly making distinctions. But let go. Let go of our sense of controlling all the different things. He continues, where the 10,000 changes do not reach is the foundation that even 1,000 sages cannot transmit. There is this foundation to our life and our world and our experience. And nobody can give it to you or tell you what it is. Even Hongxia can't tell you exactly what it is, even though his poetic language is very evocative and helps us to find for ourselves this foundation. So I sometimes say that nobody can tell you how to be Buddha. Of course, Buddha is already there on your seat right now. But How do you express Buddha in this world? Very challenging. And nobody can tell you how you should do it. This is something we find for ourselves. How do we express this wonderful reality in the middle of all of the horrors and problems of the world, which I will come back to? Hong just says, simply by yourself illuminate and deeply experience it with intimate accord. So this is, you know, the function of sustained practice. Each of us has this responsibility and ability to illuminate and deeply experience this source with intimate accord. The original light flashes through confusion. True illumination reflects into the distance. Deliberations about being and non-being are entirely abandoned. Well, Hongzhi can say that, but how do we really get rid of our and abandon our all of our thoughts about it is or it isn't, this and that, being and non-being? So Hongzhi is very challenging in his own way. He can also be comforting, but this is a difficult practice we're all doing, and it's a wonderful practice, and we are all doing it. We are all engaged in this. The wonder appears before you. The wonder appears before you. The wonder appears before you. So it looks like we're just facing the wall. But we're actually facing our whole life, the whole world, everything. The wonder appears before you, its benefit transferred out for ages, for countless ages. Immediately you follow conditions in accord with the awakening, without obstruction from any defilement. So this is his instruction. How do we follow conditions in accord with awakening? How do we put those together? How do we see all the conditioned aspects of our difficult world and our difficult life and all the sadness and the joy and the conflicts? How do we follow these conditions? Not ignore them. So this is about awareness and awakening. How do we be awake to the conditions of delusion? And also accord with awakening. How do we put those together without obstruction from any defilements? The mind is not attached to things and your footsteps are not visible on the road. So we talk about the path in Buddhism. And, you know, there are this Eightfold Noble Path, and the Fourfold Noble Path, and the Eightfold Path of how to do this, and there's the Paramitas. And there's all these, there is, and Buddhism gives us all of these descriptions of how we express this reality. So again, Hongzhi says, to follow conditions and according with awakening. The mind does not attach to things and your footsteps are not visible on the road. Then you are called to continue the family business. Even if you thoroughly understand, still please practice until it's familiar, until it's intimate. And that's maybe endless. So this family business is one of the things that Hongzhi talks about, Dogen talks about, and it's how we express the Buddha work, and it's a particular family. So we are practicing here in this lineage known today as Soto Zen, but it's an ancient tradition that goes back. We can talk about the different ancestors, Dogen, Hongzhi, in the 800s, Dongshan, in the 1960s, Suzuki Roshi in San Francisco. And here we are in Chicago. We are taking care of the family business. Each one of us here in this room and on Zoom, this is our job. This is the Buddha work. How do we take care of this tradition of practice and awareness and awakening and responsiveness? So I'm going to refer to some of what we just chanted, because it struck me as how much it fits with this passage. So he talks about in this where he says, seeking appearances and sounds, he can't truly find a way. So it's not about what we can see or hear, or we can't catch it by that. However, the deep source of realization does appear. It says, wisdom illuminates the inside of the circle, this circle of brightness. And there's another line here that jumped out. Oh, well, one of them is intimately conveying spiritual energy. It subtly turns a mysterious pivot. So, so it says, clearly understand and know by yourself, which is what he's saying in this passage. This mysterious pivot, intimately conveying spiritual energy. So, part of this practice of Zazen is about energy. It's about realizing our energy. It's about allowing energy to arise. It's about seeing when our energy is flagging and we feel tired. It's not all one thing. We are alive. The world is alive. We are in the midst of changes. Intimately conveying spiritual energy, it subtly turns the mysterious pivot. So this mysterious pivot is the heart of what I want to talk about tonight and during this practice period. There's this pivot. There's this turning. And it turns back and forth. It allows us to see, to glimpse, to taste, to express this wholeness, the possibility of wholeness and illumination. And awakening, which is our birthright, and is what family business is about, and is what all of you is, because you're here. Whether you're in Lincoln Square Center or out in New Mexico, Mark on Zoom. So, how do we engage the mysterious pivot between this glimpse of the source, this, maybe out of the corner of our eye we get a taste of this. Or maybe as we continue to sustain this practice, there was another line in there which I wanted to say because it was exactly about this. It was something about continuing. Maybe it was in a passage I read, something about even when you fully engage in this ultimate spiritual energy, we must continue. So, as I sometimes say, Shakyamuni Buddha, when he had his great awakening, didn't stop practicing. In fact, he practiced every day the rest of his life. And I would say continued awakening. So this is, lifelong learning. This is endless practice. And sometimes people join Sangha for practice and do this practice for a while, and then they find something else to get involved with and go away. Then they come back sometimes. Anyway, I'm sorry to say that you've all been inoculated. Just the fact of sitting for a little while, Dogen says this, opens up something in your life, some possibility. And so during this practice period, we will explore that. But I need to say something else, which is uncomfortable to speak about. But it's, for me, it's more uncomfortable not to mention it. Which is, there's many horrible things that are happening in this world. You know that. But I'm so deeply disturbed by what's happening in Gaza. There are atrocities and enforced famine, and children, even the ones who will survive the famine, will be marked by it. It will continue, that marking will continue for generations. It's just a horrible thing that's happening. So how do we respond to that? Is the question that our family business challenges us with. And, sometimes we don't know what to do. I mean, we could go to protests or write letters or, but part of it is just to pay attention. So that's why I feel like I have to at least mention this. And I don't have any answers. And it seems, it's a difficult problem. But what Hongzhe and Dogen and Tsubi Roshi and our own Zazen body gives us is this sense that there is some ephemeral source. There is some possibility of awareness and awakening and kindness and compassion. And there's this mysterious pivot. How do we, not just in global problems, but also in the difficulties in our own lives, how do we respond? So the mission, the Buddha work, Hongzhe calls it, I'll talk about that more in another talk. The Buddha work is that we have to pay attention to our lives and to our world and respond when we can. And sometimes the best response is just to sit upright in silence and find our own calm and serenity and see how that expresses itself in our life, in our world. So, we have a little bit of time left, and I want to invite your responses, thoughts, feelings, questions, comments. This practice period is something we do together, or we're doing it for 8 weeks starting yesterday. So, comments, questions, responses, please feel free. I can see the people online. You can help me, Mike, and maybe I'll see your hands in the back. So.
I think Ken Anderson has his hand up.
Hey, Ken.
You're on mute, Ken.
Ken, you're muted, please. Yeah, go. Still can't hear you, Ken.
Yeah. Is that better?
Yes.
You can hear me? Okay, very good. Sorry.
No problem.
Yeah, right.
We have other machines, too.
Very good.
Yeah.
Again, you know, you mentioned the profound suffering that happens in different parts of the world and our response to it. Do you see a difference between my direct experience when I go into the Jewel and there's these folks there from Venezuela who need money? They're there with their kids. They don't look that happy. And that's my experience. I'm confronting that myself personally. And the kind of things that are happening in Gaza, obviously something catastrophic is happening there, but it's mediated. We experience that through the media and through papers and media that we think we trust. But, you know, how much do we know about what they understand about what the situation is? And that's maybe something different that we have in the in this century that they didn't have in the 13th century. And yes. Any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question. How our own personal experience of suffering, homeless people around us, family and friends who are suffering in various ways, of our own internal conflict, there's a continuum, and the point is not to shut it off, not to shut it down. And I'm not sure. I appreciate you putting that out. I think all of it is part of this field that we can respond to. So Venezuelan people in the Jewel, maybe we might give them something to help. Or just to set, sometimes just to smile or say hello or greet someone is a gift. So thank you for that. I don't have an answer. But Brian has to say.
Thank you.
Hi. Excellent talk. And pertaining to it, would you say that the pivot that he's mentioning is similar to Shitu's taking the backward step and shining the light within? Is it an intentional thing that we can intend, or is that pivot something that happens almost like grace, at a certain point of our practicing, it just sort of happens?
Well, really interesting question. Thank you. I think it happens all the time. It's there. We can, and it has to do with how we see things. We can see one side, we can see the other side. There are two sides of one coin. And our job, the family business, the Buddha work, is to harmonize them, to integrate them, but to put them together. And especially in the kinds of challenges I mentioned, it's pretty difficult. But how do we accept this difficulty? And I don't think we can control it. We can observe it. We can pay attention. We can try and... there is kind of this instruction to harmonize different containers, but that's what's happening too. So I don't have an answer to the question, but I appreciate the question. Thank you. Oh, hi, Simone.
I think the way to this, say, you just said harmonizing of designs, and that's a very interesting way because I was thinking, the moment that we take care of the family business, as also you were saying, in the world, and especially what surrounds us, is that a decision of that karma? So is it, and harmonizing is complex, right? Because it means that you need to listen, and you need to sometimes go up, sometimes go down, sometimes be nice, sometimes be a jerk to the situation. And, so in a sense, does the harmonization produce the spinning of the wheel? of the Dharma?
The wheel of Dharma is always turning, and sometimes it turns very quickly, sometimes it turns slowly. We cannot necessarily control it, but we can be with it and appreciate it and enjoy it, and that can help. There was something else you said that I wanted to respond to. We're talking about harmonizing and going up and down. And yeah, it's about how we bring our practice into our ordinary life and vice versa. There's also, though, just the practice itself to settle into this reality that we have access to. When we stop, when we take the backward step. Yeah, I think you mentioned the backward step. Yeah, it's like somebody did. It's like that, but this is a little different. This is, the backward step is the side of turning the light within, the side of silent introspection, the side of communion with the source. And that involves putting aside for a while our attention to the outside conditions. We need to do that. This process of practice is complicated, and it's not one size fits all. We each have our own way of doing it. But yeah, we have to step away from the conflicts of the world and stop. So sitting for a day like we did yesterday, or longer, or even just sitting for a period, we put aside. Sometimes it comes up in our awareness, but your thoughts and feelings that drift by. But part of the practice is to turn away from that. But that's not permanently turning away. It's not. This is a problem in American Zen and maybe in Buddhism that we think we can just become calm and silent and spiritual bypass, turn, ignore the world. So what I'm saying tonight is that this pivot is that we are in both. But yes, there's a time and a place to turn within, take a backward step. And then the point of that, though, is that then we go out into the world. And somehow having taken that backward step and turned within allows us to be more responsive and hopefully sometimes more helpful. So thank you for your question.
Thank you.
It's kind of time, but if there's one more comment or response or question, if not, we'll do our person chat. If anybody has something to say, take a little time. Okay, well, there'll be working with this mysterious pivot and this dynamic practice that we are doing and this harmonizing of the deep source for 8 weeks. So whether or not you're formally doing a practice period, and some of you here are and some are not, we're going to be talking about this one way or another, Sunday mornings and Monday evenings for the next 2 weeks. So please join us. Thank you.